What would you do if you had the ability to sync minds with your best friend? A partner? Maybe even a stranger? Would you share the deepest part of yourself with them?
I can already read your mind.
Then what am I thinking about right now?
You're thinking about how much you want people to support our Kickstarter for our first feature film, Sync.
You're so right. If we raise the money, we can make an amazing sci-fi thriller about mind syncing and toxic relationships.
Support women in film and check out our campaign now. Just go to Kickstarter.com and search Sync. That's S-Y-N-C. Or click on the link in our bio on social media and follow us at Femme Regard and at Sync the Movie.
Femme.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. We're talking movies, video games, comic books, TV. This episode, we've got actor Finn Jones. You might recognize him from Game of Thrones. He played Iron Fist on the Netflix Iron Fist series and in Defenders. We definitely talk about that. I was super excited to have Finn on the show. He's got a brand new horror movie coming out this week. And I don't know what else to say. I was super excited to have him. I wanted to talk Iron Fist. I wanted to talk comic books. I didn't want to force the situation. I wanted to play it cool. And you know what? Finn surprised me. He wanted to talk Iron Fist. He got into it. And I love the guy. I think he's great. Dude is super chill. I think you're just going to love him. And I think by the end of this, you're all going to want him back as Iron Fist. Hopefully that happens. And hopefully Marvel has him in their future plans. Because Finn's a Geekscapist now. He's super cool. He won us all over. Just want to remind you all before I get to the episode, share Geekscape with your friends. I love what the numbers are doing recently. And it's all because of you guys. So please continue sharing the episodes, telling your friends to subscribe, leaving reviews. That all helps us out. It helps our visibility. It helps to get guests like Finn on the show to talk about the stuff that you care about. And you know what? We've got some pretty great episodes coming up. I'm getting married in the middle of it, and y'all are still getting some regular Geekscapes. So please, the least you can do is hit that share button and try and get some of your friends in on it and help our numbers out, help our ability to get awesome guests. You get the gist of it. Okay, I've said enough. Enjoy your Geekscape. Hey, Geekscapists, I'm here with my good friend, Finn Jones. You might be familiar with him from some genre stuff. This is Geekscape, so you've definitely watched the Game of Thrones, you've watched the Iron Fist, but he's got a brand new movie coming out on digital and VOD October 7th, just in time for Halloween. It comes from our friends at Blumhouse. You trust them with horror? Well, trust them with this one. It's called The Visitor. And Finn, this is a little different than what I've seen you play.
Yeah, I'm British.
Well, I mean, we knew you were British. Right? Do people get shocked when they're like, whoa, 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 you're British?
Yeah, they do, actually. A lot of people, because a lot of people aware of me from Iron Fist, a lot of people think that I'm American and kind of shocked when I'm British, especially at Comic-Cons. When I'm at Comic-Cons, people often are kind of like, whoa, wait, what?
I don't think you can play a major Marvel character and not be British. Like, you have to steal the jobs. Like, you know,
true. Yeah,
you can't play Daredevil. You can't play Spider-Man. Like, I'm sorry.
They're all American. Yeah, there are actually. Are there any British superheroes?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There are a few. I mean, obviously, there's Captain Britain, but he's kind of part of the X-Men universe, so they haven't
really started that up. But any that are on, like, in film at the moment, that are kind of.
Yeah, in film. Dude, I'm going to get docked. You just did this. I'm going to get docked geek points because people are yelling right now. It's all right.
Sorry, dude. Listen,
we've been doing this for 15 years. It's not the first time people have been like, this guy doesn't.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, I just make them regularly, and then I log them on the internet in video form for posterity. Yeah. So
they're just there forever.
Yeah, you can go back and count. I think this show has become a drinking game for geeks to be perfect. Like, let's just see how many mistakes Jonathan can make. I love the geek stuff.
Right, can we've we talk got about one this? So far.
Yeah, well, there's a mistake hosting the show. the guy hosting the show, that's a mistake.
That's an existential mistake.
this Visitor movie, got to tell you, speaking of mistakes, they make a couple in this thing. Geekscapers, let me tell you about this movie, The Visitor, all right? It comes out on VOD. And first off, listen, I'm not a horror person. That's over at the other Geekscape show, Horror Movie Night. Those kids, they love the horror. But I was like, all right, I like Finn. I want him on the show. Like, let's talk The Visitor. Nice. I start watching this thing, and basically the plot is, well, you play a British person. That's refreshing. And then you are married to this Southern woman. You've been through a bit of family trauma, and you've inherited this. Oh, it always starts like this. Old rickety house that was in the family. It's got secrets. And early on, there's a scene where... you know, she like straight up finds this old floorboard from when she was a kid. And this is not too much of a spoiler. This is in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And right. while you're kind of familiarizing yourself with all the work that's going to take to make this house livable, she removes like a piece of the floorboard and there's an old doll in there. Like there's always a freaking old creepy doll in there.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's very, very Wicker Man-esque as well. You've got the kind of pagan wool knit thing on its face. It doesn't bode well, right?
None of this. You know she's up to something. Like, go ahead and see the movie Geekscapists if you like that kind of thing, because I think the teasers for the movie that are out, like they show Finn kind of going up against a doppelganger. You really don't know who to trust or what to trust in this movie. What's reality? What's not? But I think that's kind of the fun of this stuff is.
I think what drew me to the movie was it was more of a psychological thriller, you know, and it was less about a horror movie that is kind of just there for like jumps and scares and gore and whatever. But it's more of a kind of a tone piece, you know. I think when I was first talking to Justin about the movie, you know, other movies that were in my head.
Yo, Finn, are you clicking on something right now?
What are you playing with?
No, show it to me. Show it. What are you playing with?
Just my keys.
I was like, what keys. Are you doing?
Yeah, look, I've got a dolphin on my key.
Geekscape is listening to the podcast version. I was like, yeah, this dude's doing the rosary right now. Like he's straight up doing a rosary. Like too much of that daredevil has gotten on him, and now he's doing a rosary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just creating some bad juju.
So go ahead. Sorry about that.
Speaking of rosemary, the kind of influences for me at least were Rosemary's Baby and The Wicker Man, in terms of like it's that kind of horror movie, you know, it tends to be a bit more cerebral and a bit more psychological and creepier in tone than just a kind of like, you know, a shock and awe kind of horror movie.
But it's not without its jump scares. Like there are some jump scares in this.
There
movie.
Are some moments, yeah. But it doesn't rely on that in order to be a horror movie. You know, I think a lot of horror movies these days just rely on the roller coaster of like, there's going to be a jump here and there. But this, I think it really gets into the kind of more psychological aspect and also the more, you know, that kind of building out a really strange and eerie town, which I think adds to the creepiness.
I'm still kind of processing some of the things I saw. It's disturbing. So be careful for that. But I mean, I think that ultimately it was a challenge, right? Is that what you did this movie for? Is like, hey, this is totally different than what you've seen me in.
Yeah, I like Blumhouse. I think they've done some really good movies in the past. I definitely like Justin as well. Like his movies in the past, I think have really attempted to elevate the genre beyond what it typically is thought to be. So those were two things that kind of I was interested in. And then I also like the fact that he was British as well, and that he was kind of like a fish out of water and a stranger in a strange land. And I like the character progression as well. The fact that, you know, that he kind of like starts as this kind of like unkempt, boyish man child that's kind of, you know, just got married and has just inherited this house and just lost a baby and is kind of going through the process of becoming a more responsible adult, but that responsible adult leads to him kind of taking on his darker side rather than a more positive side.
And the thing I really don't want to spoil this movie and start talking about things like duality and whether or not this character starts to trust themselves or get seduced by the darker side, like you talked about themselves, like the, so when you start answering those questions,
You start to yeah, good. And that's the thing, it's hard to talk about this movie because it's predicated on really the twist at the end.
Yes.
You know, the twist at the end is really what kind of like makes the whole movie kind of make sense. And I remember when I read the movie, it wasn't until I got to that moment in the end that I was like, oh, actually, this movie's kind of interesting because there's all this nuance that builds up to that last moment. And you have to really understand that those last moments to talk about and understand the movie.
So you go back and find those clues.
Yeah, you find the clues, and it also allows you as an actor to kind of flesh out that nuance in the performances, because there's all that stuff that's going on under the surface that the audience isn't aware about until the very end.
So when you're doing something, I'm just going to call it like elevated genre for like lack of a better word. When you're doing like an elevated genre, let's call it a fantasy, like a Game of Thrones or superheroes. And in this case, horror, how do you ground that performance, especially knowing that you're building a design towards a twist or building a design towards a revelation for the character, and you're trying to keep it grounded. And as an actor, you're trying to keep in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, that was the main concern of mine throughout this movie, and also like early on in the conversations to Justin, I was like, how do we make this movie feel authentic, and how do we make sure that at the end the audience isn't laughing at the twist, but is actually taking along, it kind of is a bit more of an aha moment than a kind of what the fuck moment, you know? And I think in order to do that is you have to really make sure that the characters have strong intentions throughout. And then you pepper in all of this nuance and kind of all of these looks and hints early on and throughout the movie, so that when we do get to that moment at the end of the movie, if you want to rewatch the movie, you can see that it's all there, you know, behind the surface. And that was something that Justin was interested in building out, and so was I. And so really together with me, Jess, and Justin, we really worked hard to kind of elevate this movie beyond what it was originally in the script. Like, we were adding a lot of things throughout the process and fleshing out the characters constantly throughout the production.
I think that's important, so that you don't just make, like you said, a roller coaster ride where people are like, yeah, it was fun, a bunch of people got what was coming to them, kind of saw what was coming though.
Yeah, it's important, but also it's not necessarily allowed. You know, we were lucky that Blumhouse gave us the creative freedom to make these changes on the fly constantly. You know, we were constantly updating the script on a daily basis. Now, there are some production companies that you can work, studios that you work for, and it's just like, the script is the script. That's what you got to do. And if you're in a situation where the script doesn't really, it's kind of like, you know, there's big red flags as a creative, it's very difficult to try and work with that because you don't have any say. Whereas at least with this movie, I felt that there was, Blumhouse and Justin and Jessica were all very open to kind of having, you know, a creative input.
And is that one of the, I mean, how do you even approach that without insulting people? You just have to be like, I mean, but I think like a striving for a more texture.
I think that's what it is. I think it doesn't come from a place of like, you know, judgmental criticism. It comes from a place of like, well, we've all signed on to do this movie, right? We all want this movie to be the best possible movie that it can be given the script that we're given. So let's make it that, and let's have the creative freedom to do that, you know? And so I think, and we were very professional about it. Like, we, you know, Justin would air his concerns, I'd air my concerns, and we'd do it in a diplomatic way because our intentions were to create a good movie, you know? And so, and I'm a performer that is very free from ego. You know, I'm very good at taking on criticism. I'm very good at being self-critical. And so I'm not a performer or an actor that, you know, someone will say something to me and I'm going to be like, oh, how dare you say that to me? I'm offended or that hurts me. So now I'm going to like, that's going to affect my performance. No, if anything, like, I want you to be frank with me. I want you to be open with me so we can get the best out of a performance, a script, a direction process. You know,
would you come onto a film, like, just establishing that trust has to be pretty important, where everybody says, hey, like, no BS here. Can we just try and make the best movie possible? Yeah. And he goes, check him at the door, please.
And that's why I think, you know, it was nice for me and Justin to have a conversation before I signed on to the movie. And so I could sit down with him and I could pick his brains and see what kind of director he was. And I realized that he was a director that I could be frank with and he could be frank with me. And so I was like, well, yeah, I think this is something that could be kind of cool because we're on that same page together.
I just had Neil LaBute on the show. Are you a Neil LaBute fan?
Like,
he did the remake of The Wicker Man. He did the remake of The Wicker Man.
I haven't seen that.
Nicolas Cage. There's a lot. He's a, you
I
know,
love Nicolas Cage.
I love him too. But a lot of cooks on that kitchen. A lot of cooks in the kitchen is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
But they weren't all the right cooks. Meanwhile, you have his smaller stripped down movies, like his first one in the Company of Men, this most recent one that he did. And they just almost feel like stage plays. They feel like mean plays where it just felt. I recommend Neil of You too. I also saw that you're a fan of Werner Herzog. We had the producers of Grizzly Man on the show.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Man, that was talking to the producers of Grizzly Man about.
Yeah, I bet that was insane. That,
he's a genius.
He's a genius.
And
I
can interview a million artists on this show, people like yourself, and like strive to understand them, but everybody has to have their own unique voice and genius. And all I can do is kind of like sit there and go, oh, tell me a story cool. about this person and like what can I glean from it? You watch this
but you're right. It's too many, too many cooks in the kitchen really often spoils a creative process.
Especially well, the lack of trust.
The lack of micromanagement, for one. You get a lot of micromanagement where people just like, you know, these, you know, you get these kind of execs that kind of sit in their ivory towers and don't have any kind of real relationship to the creative process, calling all the shots. And then you have the creatives on the ground that often feel like, tired. They're just like, what do we do? Whereas I'm
sorry,
this
is
movie
paid for, but it has to change. You know, does that make sense? Like,
right? Well, exactly. Yeah. But with this movie and with Blumhouse, they really allowed creative freedom, which you know, I have to say, just from my perspective as an actor, like that's all you can ever hope for with any kind of studio that you work with is that they trust your creative. They trust the reason why you've been hired. You know.
And how early in the process do you start up on that? Like from up, I mean, because I'm guessing through rewrites, rehearsals, and getting ready for this thing to be cooked and put in the oven, like the earlier you do it, the better.
The earlier you do it, the better. But sometimes you don't have time. You know, for this movie, we didn't have time. You know, we were really going at it on a day to day, and we had a lot of we were going through COVID, so we had a lot of disruptions because of COVID. We had disruptions because of that strike, the IATSE strike. Mm-hmm. We had disruptions because of a recent storm as well. So we were constantly shutting down, starting back up again. It was a real. It wasn't an easy shoot. It definitely wasn't an easy shoot, but I think we were all committed to. We were still committed to making a good a movie as possible. So we all, and that was nice, man. It's nice to have people that creatives are all on the same side, you know, that want to create the best vision that they can.
That helped bolster y'all at any point where you're like, you know what, F it. The movie's about like some weird curse stuff going on. This thing seems cursed. Yeah. Like, let's just kind of like roll up our sleeves. Everybody's in this together. Does that help establish that kind of trust?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, we were all in the shit pit together. So we were just like, let's just roll up our sleeves and make the best of it. You know,
is that a British phrase?
A shit pit.
Yeah,
a shit pit. Yeah, you're in the shit pit.
That's a British thing.
Shit. I think so. It must be a shit pit. Yeah, shit pit. Shit.
I mean, it's pretty clear what a shit pit is, but I'm down. Yeah, it sounds like something that you're like, the shit pit. I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me write that one down.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of British isms that I can enlighten you with. Shit pit's a good one, though.
You're pretty political. What's going on over there in England?
I don't know, man. I've been living in New York for 6 years.
Well, why the change? You came over to shoot what? Iron Fist.
I came over for that world, and then was here for like 3 years and established a life for myself here, a good community of friends, and I really enjoyed it here. I really enjoyed living here, so I ended up making roots.
It's got an energy to it. I lived there for a few years when I was in school, and it just has this energy that you can't replicate anywhere else. Sometimes I wanted the off switch where I was like, okay, like when I close the windows, that should be it. But it's never.
It's a lot. It's always on. And that's part of the charm of it. And you need to know how to balance it. And I balance it. I get out a lot. I go camping and I travel back and forth. I love it here. But back to your question, what's going on in England? Well, I'm not really sure. I mean, what's going on with the world right now? It's all kind of a bit free fall, right?
I was reading about some of the work you've been doing, Syrian refugees and this. And I mean, we kind of, it's almost like your film shoot here, Finn. We kind of have to tie in together and lock down and make sure that we're not just falling into like
crazy
authoritarianism.
That's happening.
Yeah.
There is global authoritarianism happening, regardless whether we like it or not. And most of it is actually corporate authoritarianism.
Sure.
We can't, that is the world that we are now living in. We have been living in. It's just being ramped up right now. What we can do from an individual level is just create change on a local level, you know, and that's what I've learned over my my life so far is that when I was younger, I was always trying to change the big, you know, change the, yeah. The macro. And what I've realized in, is that unfortunately, that's pretty hard to do. But what you can do is change the micro. You can have a positive effect on the people in your community. You can have a positive impact on your friends, your loved ones. And if you, you know, you do positive and you give positive and you try to create change on a micro level, the hope is that that will eventually ripple out in meaningful ways that can actually hopefully affect the macro. But yeah, that's my philosophy, and that's how I kind of go about my life, and that's how I kind of engage with politics, is just try to do everything local.
You find the opportunities to be like, hey, I can change a mind at a time. I can make a
change mind at a time and
relationship. Yeah, yeah,
and help people out. Just how do you go about your day to day life? You know, do you want to create joy and do you want to like help people out? You know, or do you want to be self centered and just extract from those around you? Because that's what we're seeing. We're seeing, yeah, the reason why the world is the way it is because people are just wanting to extract resources, you know, and not give back to communities. And that's why we're in the situation we're in. But if we care less about extracting and more about creating and giving and fostering and nurturing, maybe we can change things. But
we have this say, Geekscape has the motto, don't hate, create. And I just got sick, yeah, of the sound on the internet where everybody's like, well, I'm just going to tear down. I see, yeah, this thing. I don't like the, yeah, new Star Wars. I don't like the new Marvel. I don't, yeah, like the new thing. I'm just going to tear it down. And I was like, yeah, and there's, I mean, the energy put into this. I said, we are wasting the potential of an entire generation of people who are taking an easy route. I mean,
dude, these people are creatives, man.
Some of the stuff they write that is hilarious. And I was like, if that was just pointed towards creativity and positivity, you'd have the funniest,
exactly,
show on the internet.
Support processes. They may not be the best. You know, like, I think back to Iron Fist season one, right?
Yes.
We all really put out, we worked so hard on that first season. We worked hard on all of it, right? Me in particular worked so hard on that thing. And it didn't turn out the way that we hoped it would. Sometimes that shit happens.
Sometimes, you know, it just comes out and the bread doesn't rise.
It does, exactly.
But season two, I feel like y'all pivoted in season two. It's like, but people didn't give season two a chance. The cliffhanger at the end of season,
the shows were canceled within a month. Yeah, I know.
But the cliffhanger at the end of season two is like, holy shit, they just hit the show that is going to, let's do this. Let's do season three.
We course corrected. And then crazy. We were going to go. But back to what you were saying is that what people need to realize is that we're all well-intentioned people that are trying to create art in the world. And we're trying to manifest something positive. And we're trying to uplift people. We're trying to tell good, interesting, entertaining stories. And the level of hate that gets poured onto to artists and creatives when it maybe doesn't turn out in the direction they hoped, it's like they just created a genocide. You know, it's like, hold on, man. Like, let's all be supportive of each other here because we're all trying to do something positive with our lives.
It's a guy with an iron fist, folks. Like, I love the character. I grew up with this stuff. I love it. Yeah. But sure, Shang-Chi probably should have come first. We get it. Like,
right.
But like,
and there needs to be better representation in film. And sure, there is now.
We are all for that. I think that people are like, oh, season whatever it is, the phase four of Marvel is too much of this. We got the She-Hulk, so we got the Shang-Chi. I was like, yeah, you mean a bunch of minorities and women? Like, what's the problem there? Look outside your window. That's what it looks like. And we should see them on screen. And I'm excited about that.
There should be better representation. There should be better representation in television film, period.
Okay, so Iron Fist came first. You got the Chuck Norris before you got the Bruce Lee. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't even think that's what it is. I think the first season, there was a lot of creative challenges and it didn't live up to the expectations. And I think that came down to scheduling conflicts. I think that season of television was rushed because we had the Defenders that we had to film straight afterwards. You know, we had to film the Defenders. We had all those other actors locked into that schedule. So we had to film those 13 episodes of television in that set time. And unfortunately, we just didn't have the time to do what was expected and what was desired, which was a kick-ass, amazing kung fu show and martial arts show. And, you know, and the reason that show failed was because of the time constraints, because of bad scheduling. With season two, we really understood what the flaws were, and we worked hard to course correct the show. And in my opinion, we did. We did a fantastic job bringing that show back up to code.
Agreed.
But unfortunately, just like a month after that show had been premiered, all of the shows got deleted, because Disney wanted to create their own
series. They wanted to do their own thing on their own platform, which is understandable. But it was just a shame that kind of, you know, just when we were like out of the gate, ready to kind of go running, we were just like yanked.
And Finn, like when you start to see Charlie show up in a Marvel project, you start to see Vincent D'Onofrio show up in a Marvel project, they're bringing those Netflix characters back. Rumor over the summer, though, like, you're the one they wouldn't bring back. Like, that's got to be a rumor, man. Because like, you'd do it, right? Like, you'd want another chance at that.
Of course, I would. Like, I'd love another chance. I'd love to. I care about that character deeply. I care about Danny Rand deeply. I believe in that character. I think there's a lot of work that can be done. I'm also very, you know, there's something about the underdog. You know, I love the underdog narrative. I love the ability to like prove someone wrong, and I want to prove all those motherfuckers wrong. I know I have it in me, and I know that I can give the Danny Rand performance that fans want, and I know is possible. But you know, that's just the way it is, and I'm really happy that Charlie has his job back. that you know that he's going to be Daredevil again. I think he's fantastic for the role, and I'm so excited to see him portraying that character back on screen again. From my perspective, I would love to come back, but I think it'd have to be in a way that is in line with, that makes most creative and narrative sense. And for me, I've been thinking about this, you know, I think it would be really cool to see a Heroes for Hire series, to see Danny and Luke back. That's the way to bring him back. But then also to have Colleen come back, and for Colleen to still be the Iron Fist. She should be holding that fist. She should show up in maybe Shang-Chi. Maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be Shang-Chi, but it could be whatever Marvel property. But she should
shows up in Daredevil. They got 18 freaking episodes. Like,
nah, she should be movies. She should be Black Panther. Colleen Iron Fist should be fucking A1 movies. You know, she deserves that, and she's great for doing that. And I would love to see her show up for something like that, and then to have Danny and Luke show up on their own series, and then over the course of seasons of televisions and films, you see those characters come back together again in a dynamic and real way. It allows Danny to have redemption. It allows for Colleen and the Iron Fist to have her moment. You know, for me, that makes the most creative sense. But
that's the underdog story. And I mean, when Matt Fraction wrote that great Hawkeye run, and they used a lot of it for that Disney Plus show on the Hawkeye. And he also wrote like one of our favorite Iron Fist stories with the
brilliant, the Immortal
Iron Fist. I mean, the Seven Kingdoms of Heaven tournament storyline, it felt like, okay, if they do this in season 3, we're all going to lose our minds.
Yeah. But you have to have the right budget for that, though. You have to have the right budget. That has to be a movie. That can't be a TV thing. Because if you're going to do that right, it has to be, you know, kind of, you know, Black Panther, Spider-Man level of movie telling. So it's interesting. It's all there. You know, the possibility is all there.
Have you
it's
written the pitch? Go
about it. I'm writing it right now.
Let's write it out. And
I'm just a fan, man. Look, I'm a fan of the characters. I'm a fan of the stories. And if I was an audience member, like take my acting ego out of the equation for a moment, right? I love the character Danny.
What I can tell from the last 25 minutes.
I try to leave it on the back burner.
Sure.
But you know, as an audience member, as someone that loves the Iron Fist and loves Danny Rand and wants to see better representation in film and television, I think what I just described is the best way to bring all these characters back in a way that makes everyone feel happy and course corrects all of the.
And it's not a Danny Rand project. It is a Heroes for Hire. It is you know, I mean,
Luke and Danny on the streets.
He's been on an Avengers team. Like, just have him in there. Like, they'll call you up. You can do one of those teasers in a weekend. Those little tags they put on everything. Yeah, no, like, they got to have the tags.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they'll call you up and be like, what are you doing Friday? You want to film this little tag?
Sure.
Put it on the end of some show. And people will be like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like,
we'll see. And I think, you know, judging from the fan reaction, I do think there was all of the negative critical reception, right? And that lingers and that's still there. And I understand that. I really do. I get it. But I do think there is also a very underrepresented group of people that love the character, really understood what we did with the shows, respected that the shows weren't exactly what they should have been, but they see that that there is a lot of promise there. And I think there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of good inertia, you know, to bring this character back in a meaningful way that feels right. And I just hope that I'm there to see it through.
We're going to do this. Okay, let me write this letter to Kevin and just be like, Kevin, listen, Enough of that. Like, let's not. Okay, let's see. Finn is down.
I'm down.
Yeah, Finn's down. Okay, Finn is in. Okay, I'm gonna send him a text. Be like, Finn's in.
You know, I've also had like a lot of time away. You know, like it's been 5 years since I've played that character and I've been in that world. And like a lot's gone on in those 5 years. There's been a lot of personal development. There's been a lot of creative development. And I definitely feel just from an artistic standpoint, I'm ready for that challenge again. You know, there's been a lot of things that I've learned. Like I was thrown into the role of Iron Fist.
Like
thrown
a week
into
before
it.
Or something like
no,
that.
No, not
like,
a week, not a week. Right, it was a big shift in a short amount of time, and I wasn't really given like the right level of scheduling to kind of get the most out of what I could give. And at the time, like it was like I just boarded a freight train, and the freight train was going 200 miles an hour.
It's gone,
and right. I'm on it. You know, and suddenly I'm on this train, and I'm having to like figure out how to fucking steer it and navigate it, but the train's moving. Right. And I did it and it was fine. And I got through it.
And then it
got better. You know, exactly. Right. Because we all, as we were on this train, we all realized, okay, this is what the train is. But now being off that train for about 5 years now, I've really, you know, there's things that I've just learned about myself. There's things about I've learned how to approach my own discipline, my own craft in a way that I think if I was ever to reprise the role, it wouldn't be the same as before because, you know, there has been, those years have passed that have given me a lot of insight.
And on a creative level, like I don't think many of the creative teams are coming back. You got a few writers here coming back to some of those Disney Plus, but the Netflix.
I mean, I'd love to see Raven come back, man. I thought like working with Raven for the second season, like that guy is, I mean, he's a dear friend and I think he's an amazing showrunner. The part of the success and most of the success for the second season of that show was down to Raven and his passion and his hard work. He loves that character more than anyone and he really wanted to do that character right. And so it would be nice to see Raven brought back in some capacity as well, if that was to ever happen. Just because I just know how much of his own heart he put into that as well. And to not have that show continue after all of the hard work that we all put into it was, it's life. That's what happens sometimes.
Damn, Finn, it feels like 5 years later, this kind of still burns. But let's text Feige. Let's tell him that you're in. Let's say Raven should come back. He did a great job on season two.
There's unfinished business. That's all there is.
That's the Heroes of Hire subtitle, unfinished business.
There's unfinished business. I'm not burned by it. Do you know what I mean? Like life goes on, you know, like there are many other facets of my creative output that I've delved into since the passing of that show. Like I'm into music as well. Like I'm not here twiddling my thumbs, you know, like I've got other shit going on.
No, I see you on Instagram DJing and doing different things. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, like I have a life. But at the same time, there's a part of me that there's unfinished business creatively with Danny Rand.
Finn, listen, I love talking to you, man. We could get into the social stuff. We could get into other projects. Like there's a million things I wrote down that we didn't even get to, but
next time
Geekscape, maybe he comes back. I want to shoot you one of these Don't Hate Create shirts because that. I think we're aligned with the same message.
Yeah,
dude, good luck with this. Geekscape us again, like I told you at the top of the show. Great. Watch The Visitor on VOD and digital October 7th. If you want to see Finn do something you haven't seen him do before, use a British accent in a project. No, I'm kidding.
It's a novel thing.
Dude, Finn, thanks for coming on Geekscape, man.
All right, really appreciate it.
Thank you so
much. All right, take care. Dude, all the best.
Bye. Geekscapists, how cool was Finn Jones? Who doesn't want to see him back as Iron Fist after listening to him talk so passionately about the character and what can be done in the MCU? I really think the dude gets it. And now he's a Geekscapist for life. I invite all of y'all to go out there and watch The Visitor this Friday. Support Finn. We've got some amazing Geekscapes coming up. I know that I get married in less than 2 weeks. Things are getting a little crazy. Jonathan's bandwidth is pretty much gone, but I'm holding it together. You're going to get your Geekscapes. And next week, I've got Scott Adkins, who's a pretty amazing action star, and he's going to be on the show talking about his brand new movie, Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday. It's a whole series of assassin movies called Accident Man, where he sets up these hits as accidents so he can get away scot-free as a hitman. And it's a whole series of action movies that I didn't even know existed until Scott said he wanted to come on the show. So I'm super, super, super excited to have Scott on the show. I can't wait for y'all to hear that one. Please share the episodes with your friends. Tell them to subscribe. Leave me a 5-star review on whatever podcast you're listening to this on. And hang tight. There's so much more Geekscape coming your way. I want you to be a part of it. Till next time, don't hate, create. Over and out.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.